Did you know it's Pentecost Sunday? And this is a Pentecostal church, so guess what we're preaching on? Communion. No, we're preaching on Pentecost. We're preaching on the event, the wonderful event of Pentecost. And you know, and it's all about the Holy Spirit. I mean, the book of Acts is not the Acts of the apostles. It's not the Acts of the early church. It's not, you know, Act 1, 2, and 3 of the drama unfolding of the church's birth. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Just in case you were wondering, it's what the Holy Spirit is doing. Jesus said he was coming. He said the Holy Spirit will come. I must go that the Holy Spirit may come. So that's how it is. And it's a promise from the Father. This is going to happen. And so the day of Pentecost is all about the induction, the introduction, the invocation of Holy Spirit. This is a big deal. It's not just an event. It didn't just happen one time, and then we go, well, wasn't that something? Wasn't that a party, I guess, just like the Rovers used to say. But it was a party, but it was way more than that. It's a party that keeps on going. Praise the Lord. And actually at a conference, there was a lot of talk about the Holy Spirit. What with being, you know, there was 500 Pentecostal pastors together. Well, We kind of like the Holy Spirit. We really dig him, and we love the moving of the Spirit and moving in the Spirit, if you will. And there's something they actually said. This was something, and I know it to be true, and you do too, perhaps, is that we have stopped inviting testimonies from people. You know, in church, we used to do it all the time when I was a young Christian back in my 20s, back in the 80s, you don't have to do the math, you can see I'm old, and don't even bother, I'm older than you think, no, I'm not, and that's the sad thing. Anyways, we used to just love testimony, we'd have testimony night, but something happened, we started to get embarrassed about it even, because, you know, the odd person would just get up and give such a peculiar testimony. Such an odd thing, you know, and it was that same one week after week, or, you know, or a testimony time, and nobody would get up. You go, oh, wow, look what the Lord is not doing. You know, that's equally not cool. And, you know, just things like that, and it was almost like, wow, we're Pentecostal, we're going to downplay the Pentecostal, we're going to become very, very mainline, we're going to become very Protestant, almost Catholic, and be that way. We're going to become very civilized in our worship. And oh, did we lose something by going there? We need to get back to the Holy Spirit. We need to get back to the moving of the Spirit, to that openness, to that freedom. And I just love that I didn't ask for testimonies. They just came. Now that is glory. Thank you for doing that. And that's just such a beautiful confirmation to what I'm talking about this morning, that too, he stood up and said, I want to give my testimony. And a beautiful, beautiful that you shared. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. There's nothing to be, there is no condemnation. There's no shame. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? And what God is doing, we ought to give him glory. We ought to lift him high. We should not keep these things secret. We're witnesses. We should be testifying to what the Lord is doing so that others will be encouraged and know that God is still moving. God is still doing what God is doing. So let's go to the book of Acts of the Holy Spirit, chapter 2, verse 1. Of course, you know it's the story. It's the day of Pentecost. I guess it was a day. It was an event. It was a party. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. We'll start reading and then we'll stop at some point. It's so good. Lord God, bless this time. Lord, your presence. In fact, I won't say another word if I have no presence. I will not do this without you, Lord. Can't. So we begin. Chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were filled, all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now, there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speaking in his own tongue. They were amazed and astonished, saying, "Why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Perinthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, I'm usually good at these, Egypt and the districts of Libya around Cyrene and the visitors of Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs and Becherites even. We hear them in our own tongues speaking of the mighty deeds of God." And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, "What does this all mean?" That's a good question. What does this all mean? Pentecost Sunday is often referred to as the birthday of the church. The birthday of the Church of Christ. Not only for the Pentecostal church, but also for the Roman Catholic, for the Anglican, the Methodist, the Lutheran, the Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Nazarene, Baptist, United, and on we go. They were all born. We were all born together on that day. We all share one birthday. All churches which rightly preach the gospel truth can look back to the day of Pentecost as their birthday. The day of Pentecost, now here's a mouthful. This is a sentence that there's so much to unpack. The day of Pentecost was a crucible moment in the history of the church. It was an event of supernatural, cataclysmic proportion that brought unprecedented revolution. Do you hear those words? These are big. These are important words. These are words that say something amazing just happened. It was an event of supernatural, cataclysmic proportion that brought unprecedented revolution. It was not a singular event. It was an inauguration. It was an introduction. It was an institution of the Holy Spirit into the Church of Christ. He didn't just show up and say, "I'm here to put on a show, and then I'm gone." He showed up and he stayed. Holy Spirit was there, and he's here, and he's been all the way along the way. The Holy Spirit dwells with us, in us, for us. He is the Comforter. He is the one Jesus foretold. He is the one the prophets in the Old Testament said, he's coming. That's Holy Spirit. But to properly consider the implications of Pentecost, like they asked, what does this all mean? We as people of the Word, that's us, we are people of the Word, must go to the Word, of course. And we began there at Acts chapter 2. And I was asked, what kind of preaching do I do? Am I topical? Do I like to just run a running commentary? Or am I expository? And I said, yes, I am. Sometimes all three at once. I'm whatever the Lord wants me to be on that occasion. I hope I'm never pigeonholed. But today it seemed it became expository. And there's an alliteration. We're going to consider the person of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Sounds good to me. Amen. We must look beyond the day of Pentecost, though. The day of Pentecost certainly is the event. It's the beginning, but it's not the beginning. It actually, there's introduction long before. In fact, long before the day of Pentecost, at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus went into the temple, which was his practice to do. He would go to the temple. Every good Jewish boy would. They would go on Saturday. And when it was his turn to read, because families read, they would come to the front and they would open the scrolls and they would read. And Jesus read on that occasion. And you, if you like, you can go there, Luke chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. But I will read it to you just as he did, not just as he did, because he read it with such authority. I'll read it as authority unto him. Reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, in fact, he declared, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Basically, he said, that just happened. They had always read it thinking, there's a time to come. And Jesus said, it is now, and it is me. The one you've been waiting for, I am he. The one that is proclaimed, that is prophesied throughout Old Testament history, that's me. All that was to come, here it comes. It begins now. And he closed the book. Powerful, powerful. And do you see that? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. In those few words, there's the Trinity. The Holy Spirit of God is upon me, Jesus. There's the Trinity. If you ever wondered, if you ever thought, is there really three? Are they three separate? Apparently so. They certainly are. The Spirit of God, Holy Spirit from on high, has been sent. He's on me. There is such a union here. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There they are in that moment going, present. And at the end of his earthly ministry, he said in John 14, verses 25, 26, "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. While I was here, I told you these things." What things? The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. There's the Trinity again. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all these things. I have been telling you, he's going to help you to understand them and to live them out. It's going to become so real. It's going to become you. It's going to be the supernatural dwelling in the natural. It's going to be like that. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all these things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. Boy, I would have loved that going to school if I had someone to bring everything back to my remembrance, what I'd heard even one time, so that come exam time, come crunch time, come the pressure of life, of that test, I could go, could you help me here? Boom, thanks, that's what I needed. There's the answer. And again, after the resurrection, Jesus gathering them together, as we read in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, So, I mean, these are gold, these scriptures. Of course, they all are. He gathered them together, and he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, "You heard from me." I've been telling you about this. "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." The Father's promise. Father's promise, that's prophecy. That's what we have read in Old Testament. We call it Old Testament to now. Before, back then, it was the Testament. It was the only Testament. But they knew. What the prophets had said were the promises of God. What the Father had promised is the day of Pentecost foretold. And this morning, as I prayed with people, I just felt like that scripture just kept coming again and again from the book of the prophet Joel, chapter 2, verses 28, 29. And afterward, these are the end days after Jesus, after the resurrection, after the ascension, in these days. And afterward, I will pour out my Spirit, my Holy Spirit. And who am I? I am God. That is God speaking. And afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all the people. Not just Jews, on all the peoples, on all the nations, on everyone who will have this gift. I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons, your daughters, they will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. There it is. That's the promise. That's the promise the Father had spoken and Jesus refers to and the Holy Spirit fulfills. That is what we're talking about. That is the day of Pentecost. That's what happened. That happened. That's why Jesus could say all of these things, which I just read, that just happened in your hearing. And now the day of Pentecost happened on that very day. The Holy Spirit indeed did come and did pour out his Spirit. And it was the beginning. Yeah, and it happened to some perhaps 50 in that room that day. But it wasn't just for them. It says all the people, all the nations, not just those 50. It didn't happen just then and then that's it. He just packed his bags and headed back to heaven and said, well, my work here is done. Short stint, but, you know, good job. High five. Me God. Boom. And off you went. No, he's been pouring out Spirit on all mankind ever since, even today. Even today, sons and daughters, that's going forward. Sons and daughters, not just me, but my sons and daughters. And not just them, but their sons and daughters. And not just them, their sons and daughters. Do you get that? It's not just today. He wouldn't say on your sons and daughters if it was just for you. He'd say just for you. Just for you, not your sons and daughters. He's saying this is going to keep going. All peoples, ongoing. In those end days, the way I read things, end days keeps going until the end of days. Doesn't that make sense? It's not end days and then there's something more and then the end. No, the end days are up until the end. So, Holy Spirit, keep doing that. And if we quench the Spirit and say, well, no, you're done. You're done here. Your work was then. Completed work, and when the perfect comes, I guess they think the perfect is the Word of God. Well, it is perfect, but God is perfect and perfection. But when he speaks of the perfect that shall come, that's when Jesus comes to take up his church. That's when the kingdom comes, the perfect church, the bride of Christ, perfect and without spot or blemish, that perfect bride. And when all things are done, when the end of the end days, that's when the perfect comes. And in between time, we have Holy Spirit because we need the Holy Spirit. We can't function without the Holy Spirit. We can't do this. I can't keep being a pastor if I don't have Holy Spirit. In fact, I am all the more becoming so dependent on him. And I hope you've noticed a difference because I am done trying to do it in my strength. Or is it in my weakness? I am ready to do it in the power of God, in the Holy Spirit. If he's got something to say, I want it to come through me, and I don't want to have anything to say in my own strength or in my own authority. I got nothing for you. In fact, before church today, Lord, I'm not even going to the pulpit if you are not going with me. And you know what? He goes with me. He doesn't go, nah, you didn't ask quite right. You didn't say the magic word. I'm sorry, I'm not really interested. I'm busy right now. He doesn't say that. He says, boom, I am going with you. I'm going before you, and God is before me, and I want that I am invisible and you hear him, and not like I am any big to do. In fact, I am nothing, less than nothing. I am so quickly replaceable. I'm as replaceable as the last 10 pastors that were here. Every one of us is going to be replaced with another until the end of end days. But if we come in the Spirit of God, if Holy Spirit is functioning through our ministry, wow, amen? Do that. Do that. Whatever you're doing, do that. Wherever you're going, God with me. God with me. Can't do this. That's just, so we hear of this person of the Holy Spirit. We hear of this person. Jesus told us about him. Said he's coming. I must leave that he may come. But when he comes, game changer, everything changer, brand new. You're going to blow your heads. You're going to blow your minds. It's going to be amazing. What God is going to do, just let him do it. Just get in there with him and go along for the ride. But God has got big plans for this end days, for winning the many. Wow. It's exactly what God promised, the person. But you know, it's not enough to know of a person. I could study and study and study to know everything about a person. I could know, I don't know, you pick somebody, I don't know, Gandhi or Nixon or Mother Teresa. I could know everything about her and not know her. I mean, I could know what she did her whole life long, Mother Teresa. But if I never met her, I don't know her. if I never experienced her presence, had conversation with her, I have no idea who she is. I have an idea, I have, a picture of who she is, but not the person. We must not be satisfied to know just the person of the Holy Spirit. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit. It is altogether different to know the presence personally. Jesus said in Luke 24, verse 49, "And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Do you see that? The promise is the person of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and the promise of the Holy Spirit. It's all right there in that statement. You are to stay. You are to wait. You are to tarry. You are to slow down. You are to even stop. You are to just cease from all your busyness and abide. Don't go off half-cocked. Stay, wait, abide, tarry. Through Scripture, we find this principle repeated again and again. Seek, you shall find. Ask, you shall receive. Knock, the door shall be opened. I tell you what, if you seek and have not yet found, guess what you're supposed to do? Keep seeking. If you've asked and you have not received, guess what you're supposed to do? Keep asking. If you knock and the door has not been opened, keep knocking. You see, there's a persistence there. There's a waiting there. There is abiding in this. Ask and ye shall receive. You know, why else are we here? Are we here for the power? Are we here for the presence? Are we here to learn about the person of Holy Spirit, of his doings in times past? Or do you want his presence today? I want his presence today. I'm here to get, we come to this, I've heard it called a holy huddle, and there's nothing wrong with that. Church is like a holy huddle. If you were a football team, you do go up on the line and you make the play. You do what you were called to do. You practice and you're ready and you go and you put up that fight and you run that play and you execute. And then what do? You come back to the huddle. You come back to the huddle and you all get in there together and you listen for instructions from the captain. The captain is Jesus. Through Holy Spirit, he says, this is the play. This is what we do. So we come into that holy huddle, into church on Sunday, and we get it. We thank you, Lord. Yes, yes, amen, amen. And then we all put our hand in and 1, 2, 3, going to heaven, amen. You know, whatever you shout, and then out you go and you get back on the line and you are ready to go another week long and you just crash the enemy. You just tear down those strongholds. You just go forward and you take back some of that territory that the enemy has stolen away. And you keep going forward and keep pushing, and then, man, you might get a setback this week, and then you get back in that huddle and you go, now what? Yeah, thank you, Lord. Yes, amen. And boom, out there again. And you do it every week. Holy huddle, get out there, make the play, drive forward, score. Amen? We're going forward. We're not going back. And by the way, I already know the game, it's fixed. We're going to win. Guaranteed. It's good. Amen. Goal, yeah, amen, amen. And it is good. It is good, and we are going to win the day because the captain of the host, our Lord, hey, if he is for us, if he's the quarterback, oh, praise the Lord, the enemy doesn't have a hope. Well, actually, he doesn't have a hope. We already knew that. We fight a defeated foe. He's already lost, and he knows the score. Sometimes maybe we don't know the score. But we need the presence. We need to get into that holy huddle. We need to get back there and listen to the quarterback, and he's going to tell us again. He's going to remind us, keep going. Yeah, you're the one. The ball's going to you. This week, you are going to drive forward. There's something's good. We're going forward for Christ. We're going to win. But you know, I see this wait. I'm sending forth the promise of the Father. How does time do that? Don't even look at the clock. It stopped. And just ignore it, because we're supposed to. Second point is that we're supposed to wait. So just will you wait? Amen, right? We're okay with that. Oh, whatever it is you were going to do, you're going to still get to do it, I promise. You got permission to stay up a little later tonight just to make up for it, okay? You can have a late bedtime, kids. All of us can. And then you'll just wake up feeling awesome tomorrow too. So there you go. But wait upon the Lord. Wait, but we want it now. We want it fast. We want it instant. You know, I think it's laughable that when I'm, I don't know, playing on the internet or whatever I'm doing or on my phone and that, and I'm going, why is it taking so long? And then I have to remember, oh yeah, it has to go into space. You know, this, it's not like I'm sending a message. I can send a text to Judy. No, it's got to go into space, for goodness sake, and then come back. And there's some kind of obstacles sometimes and some problems. And you know, we want it now. We want it microwavable. We want it instantaneous. I hate having to wait 10 minutes in line for something. That's ridiculous. You know, I was in Montreal with a big-hearted Frenchman that reminds me of Jim Bull. He's like the Quebec, the French version of Jim. And this guy, he'll hug you like toothpaste and squeeze everything out of you. I love this man named Gilles. And he taught me some stuff without even knowing it. That man has the joy of the Lord. Reminded me about the joy of the Lord. About enjoying the moment. You know, we're driving and he's in his truck, and he's taking Judy and me around the city of Quebec, and we're going down this narrow road, cobblestone road, and there's cars parked on the sides, and this couple just stops. They're driving, and they just stop. They get out, and two in the front and one in the back, and they get out, and they're standing in front of their car, and the one's taking pictures. And then they go, and there's a point over here, and they're taking pictures, and they're going like this, ooh, and they realize they're stopped, they're holding us up, and so Gilles rolls down his window. He goes, oh, don't worry about it, it's okay, you want me to take the picture for you? You know, like that. Hey, I come out, I just, oh, you just take your time, we're going nowhere fast, you know, and he's just, amen? What if we behave like that instead of laying on the horn? Come on, get out of the way. I got somewhere to go. I am too important to be held up for a minute. Just slow down. We are just not that important. Unless your hair is on fire or you're about to give birth or something, you know, slow down. Just, we really need to slow down. And sometimes God slows us down, doesn't he? Amen? He needs to slow you down. Sometimes I think he might even cause a physical injury to slow you down. He might even just knock you down for a day or two just so that you will rest, for goodness sake. That's the Lord. Slow down and receive the presence. Wait in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high. You need to be determined to receive the presence of God. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She was on hands and knees, literally crawling to Jesus through a crowd of people. Everybody was there to see this person, to see what Jesus is doing, but she wanted to get right in his presence. Jesus said, "Who has touched me?" Well, his disciples said, "Who has touched you? You're surrounded with people. They are banging into you. They're bumping into you. Everybody's touching you. Are you kidding? Just know somebody has purposely touched me. Somebody has gotten right to my presence, has been determined I am going to go where he is. If I have to crawl on my hands and knees, I'm going to get to that presence, and I am going to touch him. I'm going to get that close." And Jesus said, she got that close. No one else got that close. Think of the 10 lepers that Jesus healed. 10 lepers were healed by Jesus, and they went away. Jesus said, "Go and show yourself healed to the priests." One returned, and Jesus said, "Where are the others?" Isn't that funny? He didn't tell them to come back, but he asked, "Where are the other 9? Only one wanted the presence. The others just wanted the power. They just wanted the healing. Just give me the healing. Will you just give me the healing? I'm coming up for prayer, and I just, God, come on, bring it. I've been asking. Give me that healing so I can get on my way. I got stuff to do. Got people to see. I'm a big to do. Heal me and I'm gone. And then I can get back to work because you're holding me up here. But don't take offense. It's just, this is us. This is all of us time to time. We need to slow down. The power is not enough. The presence, the abiding presence is what you want. The power, it's there it is and gone. It's fleeting. But the presence, it's forever. I want the presence, and I don't want to get away from it. I don't want to get ahead of it. I don't want to miss it. I need the presence. Where God is going, I'm going. Moses was told by God, you go and say to Pharaoh and this and that and the other thing, let my people go. And Moses said, I can't do that. How can I possibly say? And God said, my power will go with you. What do you hold in your hand, that staff? Okay, well, your staff is going to watch this power. Staff turns to a snake and then back to a staff. And it says, and these things you shall do. You're going to do great things. My power will go with you. And Moses said, I can't do it. Even with your power, I can't do it. I need your presence. I can't go. You know who I am. You know how weak I am. I need you to go with me. God went with him. I will speak through you, he said. I will go with you, he said. And Moses said, I can go. That's the way we ought to be. We ought to want for the presence. The power is fleeting. The power is attractive, no doubt. I think of the magician. There's one more example. I love this. This is another example. When Peter and Barnabas are doing great things for God, it's just the miraculous. And people are seeing it, and a great many are getting saved, and it's quite an impressive goings-on. I just got to read about this power. This third point. Now, and it was, I just got to find that. That was, well, I'll just recite it to you. I've lost my place so far. I'm gone. And the Holy Spirit is doing a work. Peter and Barnabas are going, but have you yet received the Holy Spirit? And they said, we don't know about that. And he says, well, let me tell you about the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you about this person. And then presented his very presence. And they were baptized. And this magician, I believe named Simon, sees this. And he's believing too. And he goes, this is power. This magician was impressive. If you find the scriptures that refer to him, it even says that the people thought he was something, that he had power from God, this magician. But when this magician saw real power, when the magician saw Holy Spirit power and the presence of Holy Spirit on those lives, he said, I want that. I want that power. How much is it going to cost me? I want to buy it. You can't buy it. You can't get it. You can't earn it. It's the presence. In fact, he was strongly rebuked for that attitude. This power is from on high. Jesus said, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And on birthdays, there are gifts. Amen? It's our birthday, the church's birthday. And on the birthday, we read in Ephesians 4:8, and it's a reference to Psalm 68:18. Therefore it says, when he, Jesus, ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. It's referring to the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And these gifts were inaugurated. These gifts began to be handed out at the day of Pentecost. Some of them were obvious and visible, speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. There are gifts that God gives to all of his children. All of us on the birthday of Pentecost were promised gifts, and he's still giving them out today. These gifts of the Spirit are such a blessing, and they're for all of us. Yes, the magician who wanted to buy the power. Acts chapter 8, verse 9 through 21. There it is. The power reveals what God does, but the presence transforms. God does not care how Pentecostal we are in here until we're Pentecostal out there. Pentecost isn't just for us in our holy huddle. And our holy huddle isn't just for us, and then we go back and do our quiet thing and then get back here again and go, oh, I survived another week. Yes! Pentecost is to win the lost. Right? It is that they will see God, that they will experience God, that they will wonder, what is it about you that is so different? I'm ashamed of myself if I don't appear different. I should be different than I was before. I should be continually changing, being transformed day by day from glory to glory, more Christ-like, more joy, more forgiving, more loving, more gracious, more generous. That people would see it and go, what in the world got into you? Glad you asked. Holy Spirit, let me tell you about that person. But don't stop there. Would you love his presence? We as Christians need to love his presence. And I think that's why the church sees so many come and go. They come in, they want something from God. Oh, I'm struggling in my marriage. God, fix it, would you? And he doesn't do it right away, and they go their way, go, well, that didn't work. Another one comes in and goes, well, I need healing. Why, you know, I've heard of your healing. This is the place where you get healing. Give me that. And it doesn't happen. They go on their way. My life's a mess, God. I'm going to give you a try. I've tried this and that and the other thing. And now it's your turn. I give you a go. I give you a month. Nah, it didn't work. And away they go. So many have come and gone because they want the power without the presence. They want instant. They want it now, and if not now, how about even sooner? But they who wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not faint. They shall walk and not grow weary. But they who do not wait upon the Lord, they will not mount up with wings as eagles. They will not run and not grow weary. They will not walk and not faint. In fact, they will walk and get faint. They will run and stumble and fall and slap their head against the ground. They will stumble about in darkness, they who do not wait upon the Lord. Will you wait upon him? Will you love his presence? Let's stop for a while seeking the power and start all the more practicing his presence.